Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Just when I thought the Browns possibly couldn't get any worse of a week in terms of injuries, they do something like they did Thursday night and totally redeem themselves. In honor of Dumb and Dumber, in honor of it being 12:35 on a Friday morning / Thursday night, I'm your host, Josh Bolha, with Joe Gilbert. We're back with another edition of Browns Instant Insights, WFMY Podcast Edition. Joe, the Browns, they obviously won. If you're listening or if you're watching us live, they obviously won 17-14 over the Broncos. It seemed like it was a much closer game than the score would appear. Even at halftime, they dominated the first half and it was only 10-0. I know you were there tonight. One, how was the atmosphere? The lights being off pregame for intros looks awesome. Yeah. Two, How is it just being there, seeing a win? Oh, and before we go on, I bought this jersey the day before the Bears game. I wore it to the Bears game. Myles Garrett had 4.5 sacks. I haven't worn it since. I was like, oh, shoot, I'm going to break out the Myles Garrett jersey. So I'm sorry that the Browns have played like shit the last 3 weeks. It's all my fault. It will never happen again. I will always wear this on game day. Joe, but tell me about the experience.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. The intros were pretty awesome. I love that they turned the lights off and strobe lights and all that. That was pretty cool. And the crowd was really good. The weather held off for pretty much the whole entire game, so it was a nice game. And I'm just glad they got the W any way they possibly could. They got it done. That was huge.
I feel like, I know I tweeted this during the game, the hashtag for the rest of the year should be hashtag find a way. No matter who's on the field, no matter who's hurt, no matter if freaking D'Ernest Johnson, who saw that coming, by the way, we'll talk about him. He deserves literally 2 hours of a podcast alone. But they were without RB1, RB2, QB1, Odell was banged up, Jarvis Landry was banged up, Denzel Ward went out with a hamstring. Oh my gosh, he cannot stay healthy. I love the guy to death. He cannot stay healthy. Jack Conklin was out. The Browns just found a way. No matter how, I wouldn't even say tonight's game was ugly. It really, like, they won ugly, quote unquote, in Minnesota, their last win 3 weeks ago. But I wouldn't consider tonight's game ugly. I'd say that they dominated besides a couple of drives. And two, they just did what they had to do in a colder it wasn't cold weather. It was like 40s and 50s. That's not cold. Yeah. But they just did what they had to do.
Yeah. Someone called it a grind. It was a ground out win. It wasn't ugly or anything like that. It just they just kind of fought and they went with their back to their main or their basics and ran that ball, trusted in the line, and they delivered. They didn't make any mistakes all day, which was huge. That was one of the big things going in. We couldn't make any mistakes with Case Keenum in the lineup, because he's not a guy who's you want really behind the sticks or behind the game. So yeah, it was huge, huge to get Jedrick back. We didn't have to play Hudson anymore, and it's night and day the difference when they got at least one of the starting tackles. And Hans played well, so that was good too. And the offensive line, shout out to offensive line. They controlled that game. They were the stars of the game with D'Ernest Johnson. They mauled the Broncos pretty much all day. It was one of those maybe we saw a lot last year where they put them away with the run game late. It was great to see. They didn't give him the ball back. Didn't make it interesting at the end. They just said, "We're done. We're gonna run this clock out," and they did. That was a hell of a performance by them.
Yeah, I mean, D'Ernest Johnson deserves a whole lot of credit for how well he did. But part of the reason why he dominated as much as he did was the offensive line. I mean, there were holes there. I'm 6'6" and slow myself, but I could have ran through those holes. Let's be honest.
It was.
And Jedrick Wills just played a full game for the first time since week two. Am I correct? Yeah. Or did I miss him going out at some point? So no, that's huge.
Yeah.
So maybe that week off did hit him a lot of good. But yeah, I mean, the offensive line, if there were two game balls I'd give out, one would be D'Ernest Johnson. The other would be the entire offensive line. I guess there'd be six game balls then. You can't really give one game ball to five dudes. But
split it up.
Split up into five. Yeah, definitely. But yeah, I mean, when the offensive line dominates the trenches like they did tonight, you're going to win a lot of football games. Even if you have Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt in the backfield, or you have D'Ernest Johnson in the backfield.
Yeah, it was impressive. It was really impressive. It was probably I would say their best run performance of the year, and that's saying something.
That's saying something when literally your top two running backs and two of the top running backs in the league, and basically the best 1-2 punch in the league is out.
Right, and all the success they've already had this year, it was incredible. The holes that they created, the run lanes, and it was they didn't really have that. Maybe like one or two negative runs all day. It was impressive. They did whatever they wanted, and they controlled the line of scrimmage all day. It was a great performance. They needed that. they needed that so much. That Case Keenum, he is who he is. He's not going to be the big play guy that we see in Baker that can throw downfield. And they just kind of trickulate down the field, and they did. And the run game was huge in getting that offense going. That was and shout out along with the offensive line and the artist. Shout out to Kevin Stefanski. He was in his bag today. He put on a great game.
First drive, how often does an NFL team win the coin toss and say, "Hey, we want to receive it"?
With our backup quarterback.
With a backup quarterback and back or third string running back. Kevin Stefanski, I'd be interested. I'm sure no one asked him, but I'd be interested to see if that's what he wanted, because he loved his script for the first drive and he wanted to take a 7-0 lead. Because, I mean, they literally went down the field like it was against a bunch of Pee Wee football players.
It really was. Yeah. That was an impressive drive. They did the screenplay and, a big chunky run, and it was a really good drive, and it continued the whole game. The use of just a short passing game, a play action, it showed that Case Keenum was very very comfortable in that play action. I think they ran. It seemed like they ran more play action with him than Baker the whole entire year. It seems like almost every play was at least like a fake handoff or something like that. It was a really great plan, and they ran it to perfection. They had one block field goal. That was the only kind of negative. It was a great game. I'm really impressed by what they did as a whole entire unit.
Yes. And when D'Ernest Johnson runs like he did tonight, and when combine that with the fact that Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry were both back, and that Denver is not good at defending the play action, I'd literally run the play. If you're either running the ball or you're running the play action, literally every time. I mean, there were times, I know during the first drive, they did a play action and then had Jarvis sneak out to the flat on the left side. And he was wide open. And then in the third quarter, they tried the same exact play, and he wasn't open. And I think Case Keenum threw it to Austin Hooper in the middle. Yeah. It was a really weird pass.
That was
it was like
his head cut off.
Yeah, exactly. So you could tell that they were just – you're either going to run the ball or you're going to run a play action, and you can't stop us.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, the Browns only scored 17 points, but the offense dominated tonight.
It really did, yeah. They control the clock. I think I know in the first, I didn't see the final time of possession, but the first half they were one. I think it was 21-9.
Like it, yeah, 20. It was 21-9 in the first half. It ended up being 37-23.
Yeah, that was it. Was that was that's another thing that was huge going in. Like this wasn't the team, wasn't the offense that we were gonna outscore the other team and just play a high shootout game. They needed to control the clock. They did that. And it was just, they did everything that they needed to win. And that was fun to see.
Before we move on from Dearnest, Scott Kordick. I'm sorry if I mispronounce your name. One, thanks for tuning in. Two, I'm sorry you had to. I hope you got to at least watch some of that game, because that was a really fun game, or listen to it. I listened to Jim Donovan call some of those plays too. But he said, Dearness Johnson going to get traded at the peak of his value in three games? And then we'll move on to the second question, which I feel like is very popular. One, Dearness Johnson, no.
No.
I don't think he gets traded. Simply because
I don't know how much value he has.
Yeah, exactly. You won't get much. I feel like he has more value. He offers a lot more value to have him on the team than to trade him for like a seventh round pick. Because let's be honest, other teams know that he's a restricted free agent. They're not going to trade for a third string running back, no matter how good he looked in tonight, when he could just leave during the offseason. So he provides a lot more value and depth to the Browns than he would in a trade. Secondly, I feel like it's the same. I can answer the same way with OBJ.
Yeah,
he provides a lot more value to the Browns than the Browns would get back in the trade for him. Because let's be honest, OBJ is not going to really get you anything. One, he hasn't really proven anything in over the last couple of years. Two, he's hurt.
Yeah.
And three, you have to have two to tango. You can't just be like, hey, Browns, I'm the Browns. I want to trade OBJ. Give me a third round pick. You're not getting a third round pick.
Yeah.
So for both of those answers, and I feel weird. I promise I'm not comparing Dearness Johnson to OBJ, but they provide, each of them provide more value to the Browns than the Browns will get back in return.
Totally. Yeah, I agree. Totally. Yeah. OBJ. I feel bad for him, man. I really do. He seems like he's trying so hard to get on this team, be productive. He probably should have played today. He went in he fell down on the sideline and looked like so much in pain. I couldn't believe he came back, and he had a really good second half coming back on that. But yeah, I feel so bad for him. It just doesn't. It just seems like one thing after another is just going against him, like. Now, so we started the year, he was hurt, and then when he came back, Baker was hurt, and now Baker's out, and he's hurt. So it just seems like nothing is aligning for this, for Baker and OBJ, and his value right now is pretty much nothing on the trade market. So there's no point of trading him. I still believe he is so talented that he can make big plays for this offense still. It may not be as frequent as we would like, but I'd rather have that potential. And he still draws coverage. I don't know. His reputation still brings the coverage over to him, so he's valuable in that. And I wouldn't, trading him would make no sense, really. And trading Dearness would make no sense either.
Yes, yeah, I completely agree. It's a good question, but I just feel like question. I said, I just feel like they provide more value to the Browns than the value that the Browns would get back in return in a trade. Yeah. And before we move on from injuries, I completely forgot. Donovan Peoples-Jones, groin injury, suffered in freaking warm-ups. It's crazy how many injuries this offense has had to deal with.
So many. It's just hitting one side or the other all at the same time. We have I think it was the Rams game where almost every defender, it seemed like, was out. Now it's just the entire offense is getting attacked. So, It is, yeah, it's been a rough year. I liked post game. They said Stefanski told the team the injuries don't matter. Everybody gets injuries in the NFL, and we just got to fight through it. So that was a good message for him. But
that just one. Right. No, go on.
Just in fact, it's kind of ridiculous what they're at right now. It's not many people are losing their quarterback, both top running backs. They're both offensive tackles.
They're top three wide receivers.
Right. Yeah, it's a bit insane, but they fought through it and still got the win. So that's what I like to see.
If you would have told me that there would be a game where Case Keenum would be starting, D'Ernest Johnson would be next to him in the backfield, Jack Conklin would be out, Jarvis and Odell shouldn't be playing, but they are, given, let's be honest, if this team was fully healthy, I don't think either of them play tonight. No. And then DPJ gets hurt in warmups. They're literally without their quarterback, top two tackles, top two running backs, top three wide receivers, and they still found a way to win.
Yeah.
And Kevin Stefanski say that, like, injuries happen to everyone in the NFL. Yeah. Injuries don't happen like this to everyone in the NFL, let's be honest.
Yeah, I know. People are, like, bringing up the Ravens, but the Ravens had big ones, but they were spread out. It was like, this is just insane, like, the amount of on one side of the ball and in multiple positions in each unit. It's incredible. And hopefully this week it's like a mini bye week this week, so hopefully they can have a good week and kind of rest off this weekend, and we'll see what we got. I can't really think of, I know kind of late in the game there was a few injuries, but it didn't look like we suffered a lot today. I know they said Jarvis is okay, so that's good to hear. I think Denzel is the only one going out that's a little bit concerning, but hopefully he can come back and be all right. And the rest of the guys who were out are getting better. So hopefully in Pittsburgh, we're playing Pittsburgh next, that we can have a more healthy lineup.
Yeah, I mean, you moved over to the defensive side of the ball, so let's talk about that for a little bit.
Well, before we go, we need to talk about Baker. The Baker news earlier in this.
Oh, gosh. How did I, like...
Woo! I know.
All right. So, Baker, he not only has a fully torn labrum, he also... I'm not even going to try to pronounce the shoulder bone that he...
It's a humerus bone that's broken. So, pretty much a broken shoulder.
So, it's a humerus bone, but it's not in any way funny.
No.
So, he has... And, I mean, he's going to try to play through it.
I just don't know how.
I don't think he can. Yeah. I'll be honest. I don't think... And then he said he's going to finally... Or he's going to wait for it to heal and try to play through it. One, Baker is literally going to do anything possible to play.
Yeah.
And it's hard as a head coach or anyone on the team to tell your quarterback, no, you can't. I feel like that's like, especially with what's on the line for Baker. One, the expectations for this team. And two, even if he doesn't say that he cares about it during the season, he does. There's a contract on the line for Baker Mayfield.
I know.
There's millions of dollars on the line. Right. No matter what you say as a human being, right, you care about millions of dollars 365 days a year.
It is a tough position. It's a tough position to both for the team and the player. I really don't know how he can play through this. It's a freaking broken shoulder, man. I don't care if it's not even it's throwing. A lot of people have pointed out, Jake Burns the OBR has pointed out multiple times how much it can affect you throwing. You can't put everything into it, and it's affecting him. And I don't know, it just, if he takes another hit, I just don't know how he can just keep getting back up and trying out. It sucks. It really does. It sucks.
It's not only affecting him physically.
Yeah.
But you can tell that it's affecting him mentally. Yeah. Like, I know if you brought up Jake Burns. Great dude. He used to be a former used to be with us little guys here at Waiting for Next Year, and then he went big time. But he does he does Chalk Talk Tuesday nights, I think 7 p.m. on OBR's Twitch So I'm throwing that one out there because it's, I watched it this past Tuesday. Even if you learn a lot about, or even if you know a lot about football or know little to nothing, you're going to learn a lot from Jake.
Yeah.
And just going through the film, Baker had guys open last week down the field. And it was like he double clutched because he either didn't trust himself because he's not right mentally. Well, he is right. I don't mean that in football ways. He's not right mentally.
Yeah.
Or he doesn't trust himself because his arm, and he doesn't think he can throw it that far. So it's very clear that even though it's his non-throwing shoulder, mechanically, even if it messes you up a tiny bit mechanically, in the NFL, that tiny bit is a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot, yeah.
I mean, you have to, if it's affected him with his left shoulder, he has to make up for it somewhere else, which completely messes with your mechanics.
Yeah, yeah. One thing can just affect so much. And a guy who's kind of relies on his accuracy and ball placement, that's not a good thing when that messes up. I just don't know what the plan will be. I know they keep saying
Case Keenum.
I don't know if he can sit out maybe a few games and that will help at least heal the shoulder part, the broken shoulder part. I don't know. I think I saw on some of the doctors that are on Twitter say maybe a month can help. I don't know.
By the way, Joe said doctors that are on Twitter, are on not Twitter. Twitter doctors.
Twitter
there's
doctors.
There's a huge difference between the two. Huge difference.
Yes, there is. Yeah, so it's going to be a tough one. It showed, if anybody had any questions, by the way, the difference between Case Keenum and Baker Mayfield, I think today kind of answered it because Keenum had no chance throwing it down the field. He threw some lollipops to say the least.
Tonight was perfect, honestly, because Keenum didn't do enough to be like, oh my gosh,
yeah,
just start Case Keenum. Just start Case Keenum forever and let Baker Mayfield walk. Like the Browns won, and Case Keenum, I love the guy. He is a great backup quarterback. He gets paid $6 million to be a backup quarterback, but it's for situations like tonight, and I think, I'll be honest, for the foreseeable future. Mm-hmm. But it's very clear that Baker at full strength is better than Case Keenum. So let's just put that to rest.
Yeah.
I know the Kyle Laletta people are out there too. Is that his name? Was that the Browns' third string quarterback?
Yep.
So yeah, just put it to rest.
Yeah.
I know you want to call your local sports talk radio in the morning. Baker Mayfield is better than Case Keenum.
Yes.
Now, should the Browns trade Nick Chubb? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
If you want to know the definition of game manager, you saw it tonight. That was a game manager right there.
He
ran the playbook perfectly, but he didn't really kind of exceed any expectations. Didn't make any wow plays. He took what was given, and that was
he took what was there and didn't make mistakes. Which I am running my behind the numbers piece. Unless I fall asleep on my couch tonight, it will be posted on waitingfornextyear.com in the morning. But in that, I already wrote Case Keenum, against better opponents, later in the year, in the playoffs, you'll need more than a game manager in the NFL. But against an opponent like tonight, against the Broncos, all you needed him to do was to make plays when they were there and not turn the ball over. Yep. That's what he did.
Yep, that's exactly what he did. It's going to be probably a bit different once we play Pittsburgh's defense, but that's a week and a half away. So,
the good thing about playing Pittsburgh's defense is that we also get to play Pittsburgh's offense.
Big Ben, can't wait. That's actually a good transition to the defense now.
I would try to transition it, and then you had to bring up freaking Baker's ill shoulder. All right, but defensively, I guess the first thing I want to talk about, I think it didn't happen in the second half, which I don't know why John Woods went against it, but John Johnson III playing up in the box, which is where he excelled as a Los Angeles Ram over the years, and then the Browns signed him to a long-term deal, gave him a lot of money, and have used him primarily at safety, not in the box. He, one, made a play, I think, behind the line of scrimmage, mm-hmm. and then had, like, a pass breakup in the first quarter, and then he didn't really do much or anything besides that.
Well, the interception, but yes.
Oh, the interception. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
So he had an interception and a tackle for loss, I think is what it was.
Yeah.
But both were while he was in the box. So it's very clear that that is, one, where he's comfortable, and two, I mean, if you're going to have one of your highest paid defenders besides Myles Garrett, you want him, one, you want him to make plays. So use him where he's good. And I know he alluded to it. I think it was not this past week, but the week prior, he basically, if you read it between the lines in this press conference, he basically said, I want to be up playing in the box more, not just as a deep safety. So I'm just hoping that Joe Woods more than 50% of the time uses them up in the box rather than a deep safety.
Yeah, it's yeah, we saw it kind of was a Jekyll Hyde today. The first half was very good. We saw a lot more kind of tight coverages, and he was up in the box, as you said. And then it kind of fell apart in the second half. They gave him two very, very long, excruciating drives, which were just, once again, we couldn't get off the field on third down, which is just a continuation.
I'm going to interrupt you because I was just to bring up third downs before you go on. So, Joe just said, first half, really good. They got off the field. They were in press man coverage. John Johnson was playing in the box a lot rather than deep safety. I don't think it's a coincidence that the Broncos were 0 for 3 on third down in the first half. Then, transition to the second half, John Johnson's more a safety. They're not really pressing man coverage. They're letting the Teddy Bridgewater and his receivers have whatever they want short, basically. I don't think it's a coincidence. Wait, yeah, I don't think it's a coincidence. I just heard myself. Okay, there we go. No, you're good. You're good. All right. So they were 0 for 3 on third downs in the first half. The Broncos were. Mm-hmm. In the second half, they were 5 for 8. I think you can tell why, if I just made my point. I think you can tell why. Why not just use press man coverage, make him beat you deep, and use John Johnson in the backs more, especially without JOK on the field?
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I don't know what's. I really don't know what Joe Woods is. I don't know. I can't really figure him out anymore, man. He seemed like he was doing the stuff that we needed to in the first half, and then it kind of just regressed back to what we saw in the last two games. It's frustrating, and if he doesn't start like consistently doing this, this is not going to be good. And I don't know. It's frustrating to see.
So while Joe transitions from phone to computer, we are going to. There we go.
And we're back.
Ooh, wow. Clean, the sound. Man, that was clean. Man, it's almost like I know something about technology, maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
All right. So John Johnson, he did well in the first half. I'm hearing myself again, by the way.
Okay. Almost.
You're good. Let's talk about Myles Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
Are they ever going to call a hold against offensive tackle that blocks Myles Garrett?
No.
I know I tweeted out something. I clipped it. There's like 6.5 minutes left in the game. A clear hold. The white hat is literally within 5 yards looking right at him. Nothing. Somehow Myles Garrett still makes a play, which he's a freaking athlete. And he didn't wear sleeves tonight, did he? Now that I think about that. He lied to us. But he did the sleeveless Myles Garrett. One, I would never talk shit to him and to his face. And two, I would never want to block him. But then I feel like offensive tackles probably say that too. So they just hold him and the refs don't call it. It's like.
You might as well do it if you're not going to get called.
Exactly. Exactly. It's only cheating if you get. Wait, it's only cheating if you get caught, right?
Right.
Yeah. Is that the same?
That's pretty much.
Might as well cheat because you're obviously not getting caught.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one play he was held like three times, and they still didn't call it. It's incredible how much he gets held, and nothing. It hasn't changed at all. It's been, what, 2-3 years now that we've just continued to see him. I think he actually brought this up after the game. He's getting the Shaq treatment. You know, remember the Shaq treatment where he's just too big and he doesn't move when he gets fouled and stuff like that? It's the same thing here.
You're allowed to say shit. It's okay. It's WFY after dark. Hashtag WFY after dark. It is 1 a.m. We're allowed to say whatever we want, Craig.
But yeah, it's because he doesn't look like he's not falling away or getting totally, because he's still progressing towards the quarterback even when it's held. And I think that's one of the reasons why they don't call it, because he's just so big and still so talented and strong that he can still fight through it and get to the quarterback. It's a really good analogy by Miles after the game, and I could see it. It's frustrating.
The only press conference I watched was D'Ernest Johnson, and the part where said, "Hey, LeBron tweeted about you," and he was dumbfounded. I was like, "That is so awesome."
Yeah, that was pretty cool. His story is pretty awesome too.
I know
we're going back to
the we're going back part. To the no. Do you know what? It's good because Scott Kordick said something about the offense again. So let's go back to the offense quick. If you haven't seen the story, we posted it WFMYCLE.or on Twitter at WFMYCLE. He DM'd a bunch of professional teams. Was it Canadian?
AAF. That one that played like a half a season or something.
So he was just trying to get a chance, DM'd a bunch of teams in the AAF, got onto a team, dominated, and that's how his NFL career started. And it really is. I mean, there's probably a lot more stories like this out there. Yeah. But when a guy like D'Ernest Johnson has a big game like tonight and then that comes out, you're always just like, damn, that is an awesome story.
It really is. And then he's getting shout out by LeBron. So
he was literally cool. He was literally at a loss for words. He was like, wait, what's like LeBron?
That's amazing.
Like, there's multiple LeBrons in the world.
Yeah, that is pretty cool, man. I love those stories that it just showed how much he's come through. That's why it kind of not surprising that he kind of stepped up today. He's the third back, only guy left on the roster that could do it, and he stepped up. It's just an awesome story. I love that he could do it.
It really, yeah, and I mean, he was by far the player of the game. Oh, yeah. I know I put it in behind the numbers as well. The Browns didn't have a receiver that got over 45 yards, I think, but they had six receivers that had between 21 and 45 yards.
Yeah.
And I mean, that goes back to Case Keenum, which is how I'm going to this is a perfect transition.
I think he had 10 completions or 10 different receivers, right?
And as a game manager, if you're not going to throw it deep, just spread it out. That way the defense, literally, if your running back's dominating and the defense doesn't know who you're going to pass the ball to, it doesn't matter how deep you're throwing the ball. Exactly. I was trying to think of a point guard name, but we're not trying to talk about Kyrie in this podcast.
Darius Garland.
True. Okay, we'll go Darius.
All right. Your NBA assist leader, Darius Garland.
Oh, Mike. Nothing like Mitchell Crawl Mitchell Crawl of WaitingForNextYear.com would love you right now.
I love short-term stats.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Sample size, schmample size. That's what I say. But Case Keenum, D'Ernest Johnson by far had the best runs in the game. But I actually forgot about this, which Scott Kordick brings up. That 4th and 3.
Yeah.
Before we get to this, Kevin Stefanski, you're killing me. I know a lot of people were saying that it was a good decision to go for a touch or to go for it on fourth down there, but in a low scoring game where you're only up 3 points and your defense is playing decently well, yes, it worked out. The process worked out, but I don't really like going for it there. I like, rather than being up, I think it was, I don't remember what the score is. It was a 3-point game.
It was a 3-point game now.
Yeah, but I would have rather had the points. Yes, it's easy to say now, oh, well, they got the touchdown. Yeah, I know. But I love being aggressive, but there comes a point where the Browns just haven't done well on fourth down, especially inside the red zone, especially the last, like, three games. I know Baker's been stats, like, four times the last four games inside the red zone on fourth down.
Yeah.
But Case Keenum went out there and made a freaking play. No one open. It would have been a covered sack. He somehow, like, had, like, a little razzle-dazzle move. Fumbled it, but it didn't matter. And and they called him down. That was definitely a fumble, by the way. The Browns recovered it. But, funny. I mean, Case Keenum out there making plays with his legs.
Yeah, it was funny. Jordan Zerm, he's on Twitter and works for the NFL on Twitter and stuff like that. He said we have two quarterbacks that just will die for this team. he almost got hit three times. He avoided both of them, which was nice. But I said that he didn't really make a lot of big plays or kind of go out of it. That was one play that he actually went out of the play frame and made a play for this team, and that was huge. And I still can't believe he made it.
It was one of those plays where I was like, no.
Yes.
Literally, I was saying no from the moment Kevin Stefanski left the offense out there. Because, like, they, like, were zoomed in on Case Keenum after the third down, and Case Keenum was, like, looking down at his, like, wristband. I was like, no way you guys are going to do this again. But, yeah, it worked out, so it is what it is. I can't really complain.
At this point, I give them credit. They're not giving up on what they do. They're going to do it whatever.
No matter how bad they are efficiently at doing it, they're not going to give up.
They're going to keep going.
Eventually, it'll work out, right?
Yeah.
As long as you keep trying, eventually it'll work out.
Yeah.
Like, the third time's not the charm. The fourth time's not the charm. But maybe the 10th time is the charm.
Yeah.
But like I said, it's hard. Kevin Stefanski, he got a lot of hate last week for the way he called the game. This week, I mean, that first drive.
Beautiful.
And I mean, like I said, yeah, the first drive, literally, you couldn't, I know I tweeted out, you couldn't have had a more perfect first drive.
Yep.
Whether it was a screen passes, jinx, by the way, we both just said screen at the same time. Screenplays, D'Ernest Johnson, Case Keenum, just getting Case Keenum comfortable in the pocket. I mean, that is a perfect script. I don't know who came up with it, Van Pelt or Stefanski, or if it was a mixture of the both, but that was perfect. And then, I mean, like I said earlier, the Browns only scored 17 points, but the offense dominated tonight.
Yeah, it was a great game. We said it earlier. It was an impressive showing by the offensive line, by D'Ernest Johnson, and then by Stefanski. Stefanski, he had, I would say, probably his best game of the year. Really. I really
Now that even more than what was the high scoring game earlier in the season where they won didn't they win a high scoring game earlier in the year?
They lost one.
I don't know what I'm saying at this point. All right, before we move on to next week and final thoughts and stuff, JOK being out, I feel like wasn't talked about enough given Baker's injury, Nick Chubb's injury, and Kareem Hunt. But JOK, he's been one of the best linebackers in the NFL as a rookie. He was a second-round pick. It doesn't matter. He's, whether it's his speed or his, like, ability to know through film what play is going to happen, and just, like, to be in the right spot at the right time. He is a huge loss. He'll be out for probably a month or so. But Mack Wilson and Anthony Walker had themselves one heck of a game today. And Mack Wilson on special teams and as a linebacker.
Yeah, he did. That was one of Mack Wilson's best games, which obviously that's not saying much, but it was still.
Mack Wilson, if you're listening, it's not saying much, but you had yourself one hell of a game tonight.
He did. Yeah, they played well. I still could see where the difference was without JOK. There's a lot of short passes that were completed. They probably would have got off the field a lot more if they had JOK. But yeah, they performed well enough, and hopefully JOK is not out too long that we can kind of survive this time. We're playing a couple of crappy teams coming up. One of them.
Do not call Pittsburgh crappy quite yet.
How about crappy offense?
Okay, thank you.
Okay,
much better. The last thing we need is for us to be on like freezing cold takes. Even though that would never happen.
Their defense is very, very good. I will say that. Their defense is very good.
And then they play Cincinnati, which is good too. What are you talking about?
Okay, we'll see about Cincinnati. They're playing Baltimore. They're playing Baltimore this week. We'll see how they go. That's all I have to say.
They're fighting Joe Burrows?
Yeah, no faith? Fighting Joe Burrows. Yeah. But yeah, it's coming out of this game, the biggest thing I'm thinking about is just this defense needs to get better still. They're continuing to have the same issues each day, each game. They can't get off the freaking field. It's excruciating. They get to the, I think that I saw this week that they're ranking really well in first and second down, and then they're like last place in third down.
They're like second on first and second down, yeah. And then last place on third down. But then that goes crazy. Back to the whole thing about in the first half how the Broncos were 0 for 3. I mean, on third down, 5 for 8 in the second half. It's like John Johnson. They were using press coverage. They're using John Johnson in the box. I don't know what, and they were blitzing. That's another thing. They blitzed a shit ton last week against Kyler Murray, who is great against the blitz.
Yeah,
Teddy Bridgewater is not yet.
No.
So like the two game plans should have been switched. You shouldn't have blitzed Kyler. You should have blitzed Teddy Bridgewater, not the opposite.
Like it was weird because we saw the blitz work today. They Grant Delpit had one. I think it was the second.
No, he should have had one.
Well, yeah, but it still was an incompletion, so it was still worked out. But
it was at the end of the first half because I remember putting in our. By the way, I'll shout out, waiting for next year Discord. If you're not in it, join it. We sometimes have some good stuff. Actually, all the time.
We sometimes. Wow.
I'm kidding. No, but we. And especially during games, especially during Browns games, because let's be honest, no one really cares about the Guardians right now. But especially during Browns games, it's just a cool place to come talk to and stay off of Twitter because no one wants to be on Twitter during Browns games.
It's a safe space, guys.
It's very safe. But yeah, and now it totally just lost my train of thought. But yeah, just come join WFMI Discord. The link, I think Craig pinned the tweet on WFMY Klee. But yeah, I totally lost my train of thought. I don't remember where I was going with that.
Yeah.
But
overall, it was a good game, man. That's all I can say.
Yeah, and I totally lost my train of thought. Yeah. But yeah, overall, good game. It'll be, luckily, they have 10 days off. Well, 9 days off. They play Pittsburgh a week from Sunday on Halloween. Oh. That could either be a very good Halloween or a very spooky Halloween.
Yeah, that's true. Two shout outs. One of them is going to be a self shout out. I'm shouting out myself.
Oh my.
If you go to the preview,
I might just end this podcast right now.
Everybody wants to open up waiting for next year. Go to that preview of this game and just go down to the prediction line. I just want you to take a look at, see what the score was.
I so badly want to go into our dashboard and just change the score.
just to give everybody, I predicted.
Wait, did you say 17-14 though?
I did predict the score.
Damn. I'll put that out on Twitter.
I have the lotto numbers too if you want them.
And I promise I'll give you like 0.1%.
But yes, the other shout-out.
That is actually quite impressive.
Thank you.
It would have been much better if I just realized that rather than you having to humble brag yourself.
I know.
Odell I might just call you Joe Odell Beckham Jr. Gilbert from now on.
I had to. But yeah, the other shout-out was J.B. Gillum. How about that? The man got a fire under his butt, and now he can.
It's crazy what you do when you are fighting for your job.
Yeah,
and I know. I tweeted this out on WFMY CLE, his 65-yard punt. One, it was a freaking racket, which, I mean, I'm not going to complain because it was 65 yards, but you want some airtime on your punts. Because they ended up, it was a 65-yard punt, they ended up getting like an 11-yard return, so it's like a 54-yard punt, technically a fair catch. But it was his longest punt since October 7th, 2019.
Yeah, he was impressive. He had another one that was really, really good hang time that they caused a no return, so... It was a good game for him, and that's back to back weeks of good games. So let's see if he can continue with that.
Yeah, let's just every week, just the Browns should just continually bring in punters and try them out.
It doesn't matter. You can just bring up a shitty guy too. Just put in like you and me can try out, and we'll see how it goes.
All right, let's not get too. Man, Joe shouts out himself, and I'm saying that he can be a Browns punter. We're getting in his head, guys. We are getting way too far in his head.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, I mean, it's 1:20 a.m. I still have to write about behind the numbers for WFMY. I don't know how I'm wide awake right now. Luckily, tomorrow's Friday, but technically today's Friday.
That's true.
So luckily happy today's Friday. And I just remembered that Joe is off work today, so... I would do something, but we are on live video. Eli Manning did it and learned the hard way. No, but I mean, like I said, the Browns, they're 4-3. They just beat an average Broncos team. I mean, they started off 3-0, but they beat 3-0-9 teams. So it is what it is. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, they took care of business. The defense did what it had to do. The offense dominated, even though they only scored 17 points.
Yeah.
Hopefully they can get a little bit healthier, even though I feel like the injuries that they have right now, especially with the reason I'm worried about Denzel Ward's injury is because he went out, and within, like, minutes, he was
ruled out for the game. That was a quick out.
Which is not good. If you're ever ruled out for the game that quick, that's not good.
I was hoping it was just a cramp, but, yeah, it looks like it's a hamstring, which I think isn't that like his problem? Hasn't he had hamstring problems quite a bit?
I mean, I love Denzel Ward. I love the fact that he's a Northeast Ohio guy and was a Buckeye, but the guy just can't stay healthy.
I know. It's frustrating, man. It just every year it seems like he gets something.
And I had to bring this one up. I missed this one a few minutes ago, but right now, Scott. I kind of agree.
No.
So far this year?
Pittsburgh is not better.
Okay, we're going to find out in 10 days.
Cincy has played more consistently than the Browns, but yeah, Pittsburgh, no. I can't agree with that.
Bulletin board material for the Steelers.
Half and half. I'll give you half and half, sir.
Oh, man. But yeah. You couldn't ask for much more from tonight. For some reason, I was super, like, I was, like, down on the Browns all day, and then, like, 6:30 came, and I was, like, super pumped up for tonight, and I just had a good feeling. I don't know what it was, but the good feeling obviously did something because the Browns won, so I'll take it. Yeah, I honestly don't know what it was. But it was some good
magic.
The magic of, yeah. It'll be... If Baker, I know Baker's gonna try to come back, but if he can't come back, it is week 7 right now. If he can't come back until after the bye week, which is week 13, it'll be interesting to see.
By the way.
Week 13 bye week. That's the second worst bye week you can have besides week 14.
Yeah.
Especially for fantasy football owners who have bye weeks in week 14 too.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what this team does. Do they count on Case Keenum to start 6 or 7 straight games?
Yeah.
Do they bring in another quarterback? Do they – I don't know. One thing I do know is that it's not going to be Cam Newton. There's a reason why he's not in the NFL right now. Two, I'm just trying to think of, like, teams that aren't very good, but they have, like, a decent veteran quarterback.
We're not trading for Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson. Oh my gosh, that's the last thing this team needs. It'll just be interesting. It'll be interesting to see what Andrew Berry brews up if Baker Mayfield's out for an extended period of time.
Yeah, it's something to watch, because if he takes another hit, I don't know. Like, the next one might be the thing that knocks him out. Like, it's gonna be something we're just gonna have to deal with all year, and it could be touch and go the whole entire year, which kind of sucks.
It's not. I feel like this is kind of obvious, but it's literally going to be a one hit thing until he gets surgery. But if he gets surgery during the season, he's done. Yeah. So, you know, being Baker Mayfield, he's going to wait till the off season. But then again, it's a one hit.
Leave it to Baker, though. He'll have the surgery and then he'll come back the same week or something.
I'll get the hell out of here. That's only Michael Bodie's robots that can do that.
Yeah. I have to say, him and OBJ are some tough son of a guns. Like, he's OBJ's playing with a popped out shoulder, just pretty much like Baker, and Baker's now got a broken shoulder and he played for pretty much the whole season. I can't imagine playing with anything like that, and it's incredible. Those guys are tough as nails, so shout out to them. I know we don't really talk about that side of it. They're tough, man. I don't know how they do it.
And shout out, well, one, that is a legitimate shout out. And shout out to Joe for saying sons of guns and not swearing because he doesn't want to get in trouble.
Sons of guns. Yeah, the sons FCC of guns. The FCC might come after me.
Oh my gosh. But I feel like we already did this. But any final thoughts following the Browns 17-14 win over the Broncos?
Everyone just rest. All Cleveland,
including all us, Cleveland
football players. Yes, us too. We need to breathe.
My alarm clock is going to go off in 5 hours and 48 minutes, and I still have to write a story for waiting for next year.
So you're not going to be able to sleep. But yes, everybody who can, everyone just take a breath. That was a good win day. We're back on the straight and narrow. It's 4-3. I think I just saw on NFL Network that we're in the wild card race, right with it. So,
I know I tweeted this during the game. Browns Twitter, if you're listening, I know it's a lot of you. I know I'm part of it, even though I wish I wasn't. Stop it with the roller coaster.
Yeah.
Holy cow. Like, the Browns were 3-3. They played well tonight. They won. It's a 17-game regular season.
Yeah.
You guys were freaking out after week 6.
That was the only good thing about there being a Thursday game. That was the shortest week that we could after that loss last
week. Well, now it's good, though.
Yes, I know.
Now it's good. If they would have lost, it would have been a 10-day stretch.
I would have 3-4. I would have probably had a pull of LeBron and went 0-30. I would have probably.
I feel like Andrew. Andrew has gone 0-365.
Yeah.
I sometimes wish I was like him, but I just can't. I can't. And I had like too many tweet notifications where even when I'm not on Twitter, I like still get the tweet notifications. Mm-hmm. I'm like, damn it! Now I'm back on Twitter again. But yeah, it's just crazy scrolling through the Twitter timeline during a Browns game and just like the ups and downs. Like, guys, in the wise words of Aaron Rodgers, oh man, I just brought up Aaron Rodgers during a Browns podcast. Is this good?
Wait, are you saying that he's going to be the Browns quarterback next year?
No, I did not say that. We're waiting. Wait, hold on. We're waiting for next year to talk about that.
Oh, I see what you did there.
But in the wise words of Aaron Rodgers, relax.
R-E-L-A-X.
One, you don't need to tweet out every emotion that you have during the game. Two, a game is 60 minutes long for a reason. Mm-hmm. If the Browns are playing well or playing bad for a 2-minute stretch, it's okay. And three, it's a 17-game regular season. They're allowed to lose some games. They're allowed to play bad some games. Injuries happen in the NFL. Like we said before, they don't happen as much as they have to the Browns already this year. But injuries happen. Just take a chill pill and watch the game and stay off of Twitter. That's my third.
Thank your lucky stars, you have a head coach that's a competent head coach.
For every Sunday, those are my three things. Take a chill pill, watch the Browns hopefully win, and stay off of Twitter. Those are my three prerequisites.
Things to live by Josh.
That's to be on my tombstone.
Stay off of Twitter.
Hope the Browns win. No, my bad. Take a chill pill. Hope the Browns win and stay off of Twitter.
Wow. That's pretty impressive.
I would say stay off of Facebook too, but it's not about to be Facebook anymore. So Facebook won't even be a thing to do that.
Yes, I
can't. I am just opening up a can of worms, especially by bringing up Aaron Rodgers during a Browns podcast.
I'm going to write it on Twitter that you said that he's coming next year.
That's crazy. No, I said you have to wait. We're waiting for next year to decide.
Oh, I gotcha.
Just like Baker Mayfield's waiting for next year to decide on a contract.
Man, what a just a horrible timing for him.
Seriously,
team too. Like, it just, this is awful, man.
Like, it's certainly nice to be in the position that he is in with money wise, but he is literally just throwing away millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah, it's crazy. It is crazy.
And do you know what else is crazy? Is that going into this podcast right before I hit the live button? We said it was going to be a short podcast, and we are on minute 59. Every time. Last week, we said it was going to be short too, and it was like 48 minutes.
Yeah.
And it is 1:32 a.m. on the East Coast. But yeah, final thoughts, Joey Denham. Mine are take a chill pill, watch the rounds, hopefully win, and stay off of Twitter. No, but seriously. Browns won. It wasn't even the ugly one. It was 17-14. The Browns offense dominated. Like I said, they only scored 17 points, but they looked really good. They managed the game, which is all Case Keenum needs to do against an opponent like the Broncos. They're 4-3. They have a long weekend ahead. Hopefully, I'm assuming they'll probably get most of the weekend off.
Yeah, I think they usually just kind of use the weekend to go off and then start the next week like a regular week.
Hopefully Kevin Stefanski doesn't go to one of his local bars that he owns and sees a blonde lady.
Or I thought you were going to go
with the Urban Meyer.
I thought you were going to go with the t-shirt like Freddie Kitchen before.
No. Wait, what was that t-shirt, by the way?
I forget.
It's like a Pittsburgh Sucks t-shirt or something.
Yeah, that was great. Then we got
brought to you by a local Cleveland t-shirt company where there's thousands of them. But yeah, 4-3. 4-3. Yeah, that's all I have to say.
Yeah.
Last but certainly not least, beat Pittsburgh.
Beat Pittsburgh.
And always and forever, go Browns. Thanks for joining us, guys. Oh, actually, before I forget, this podcast, we are always Craig's gonna kill me because I forgot this at the beginning. One, this podcast is brought to you by Evergreen Podcast Network. Two, we are always live on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. So if you want to be like Scott Kordick and get some comments featured during the game, during the podcast, just leave a comment.
I appreciate Scott was the only one awake right now. I appreciate it.
We appreciate questions. They'll most likely get featured, and we'll talk about them, and hopefully they're not bad questions. Hopefully it's not bad words or anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, just leave a comment if you're listening to us live. If you're listening to us on wherever you listen to your podcast, leave us a 5-star review like you always say. And yeah, thanks for joining us again. We'll be back next Sunday, Halloween. Hopefully it's a good Halloween. Hopefully it's not a spooky one. Especially, that has a chance to be a really good or a really bad weekend. Ohio State, Penn State, Saturday night. Browns, Steelers, Sunday afternoon.
The real question is, will Josh wear a costume on the podcast next week?
Josh isn't known to wear costumes. This will be my costume. I'll be Miles Garrett.
You'll be Miles.
Yeah.
I'll be a happy football fan.
Exactly. Yeah, I'll be a happy football, hopefully happy football fan wearing a Miles Garrett jersey.
Yeah.
I hate costumes. I literally didn't even dress up in college. Is that lame of me?
I stopped doing it in seventh grade, so...
I went to, I remember going to Miami University just for the Halloween. I went to Ohio State, but I remember going to Miami University just for Halloween, and I literally didn't wear a costume out.
Were you one of those guys that just wore a shirt that said something on it and like, yeah, this is my costume?
I don't know, but that is a great idea. Literally wear a t-shirt that says, yeah, this is my costume.
That's the kids that we always get, like the middle, like about middle school kids. It's always boys that wear those shirts. They come up to your door and like, good effort, guys.
Good Absolutely. Effort. Good effort. But my favorite thing about Halloween is the day after Halloween when all the candy goes to 70% off. Now, those are the deals that I like.
It's the deals. And the houses that give you whole candy bars. Those are.
Exactly. Exactly. But I haven't been, considering I've been like 6'4 since I was a freshman, I haven't been able to trick or treat in a long, long, long time. So yeah. Those days are long gone. But yeah, thanks for joining us. Go Browns. Beat Pittsburgh.
See ya.
Pit Pass Moto, sponsored by Moto America, is the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. From candid interviews with the top names in racing to providing insights into the trends and trendsetters driving the motorcycle industry, we have you covered. New episodes are available every Thursday at pitpassmoto.com and on your favorite podcast app. Ride on!